I think it's
right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray joining me on the this hour of the Phil Henry Show. She is a nationally syndicated columnist, authors A Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated column that appears in 150 newspapers nationwide. And as we were talking last hour, and we'll continue to talk about the violence in our schools and what's going on with the kids.
Well, Phil, there's all kinds of children, though, and I think we need to focus also on the ones that are doing well.
And by all means.
And the ones that are really trying to make a difference. Jason J. Delmonico is devastated. He has been working on his high school project.
Now, Jason J. Delmonico, for people who don't know...
that is my son, my 13-year-old son. He is a professional actor. He has appeared in a number of made-for-TV films. He's 13 years of age. We really think he's going to be something special. And to that end, we were planning a showcase for him, which was something that he had written, and something that...
Now, did he write a play for himself?
He wrote a thing called School's Out, The Columbine Story. It was a play that he was going to direct, that he had written, that we were in the process of casting, that we were also in the process of getting all of the sets organized for. I feel so very badly for him right now, Phil. He's really devastated.
Was this something... All right, your son wrote a play called School's Out, The Columbine Story. Why? Because you say it's a vehicle...
Yes, because not only was he going to direct this, and he was also starring in it. And he himself would take on the grueling role of Dylan Klebold, who, as everyone knows, is one of the people who shot up the school. Now, he had worked on this for months. He was writing and rewriting.
Now, he is devastated. Why?
Well, I want to get to that because I really want to give you some of the preliminary. He had worked so very hard on this, writing, casting, getting the sets together, talking the school into allowing him to do something revolutionary. It was going to open on Friday, March 9th. At the high school for the performer.
Now, I know where that is. That's in Bel Air, and that's a school for kids that are aspiring actors.
Actors, choreographers, dancers, artists, yes.
Okay. So he was going to open this thing on...
This was going to be open on Friday, Phil. And this Santee situation has apparently spooked some of the parents. They put pressure on the school, and now they're not allowing it. And... You know,
well, I'm sure you can understand. I mean, this is a play. Your son had written a play about the Columbine situation, and...
No, Phil, you know, I am really sorry...
But the Santee thing, the school shooting thing is going to spook a lot of parents. You're absolutely right. Your son had written a play about Columbine. Why do you think...
Phil, I am very, very sorry. If I could interrupt you, I'm very sorry for the parents in Santee. But I had three studio chiefs that were going to show up. I had Don Barry in from OCI, which is a major talent agency. I had been working the telephone line since last Friday, and now this bitch from the high school, and forgive me, Phil.
Is that necessary?
I'm sorry, but this bitch from the high school tells me that my son...
I think you need to calm down.
I'm very, very upset.
I think you need to calm down.
Well, an actor transcends his material. This really wasn't going to be about Columbine. It was a vehicle for Jason J. Delmonico. And it was a vehicle...
What about the parents of the kids in Santee or the parents of the kids in Littleton, where that is still an open and raw wound? Your son doing a play, you know, about... What about...
These people wouldn't have seen the play.
But what about the parents that are going to show up at this thing?
All right, Phil, what about the parents... like myself, who get out of bed and drive the child to a casting call, to an audition, to a shoot, and...
Oh, you can't. That's not the same thing. You can't say that going and taking a kid to a...
What about the parents that suffer through the bladder-loosening fear of not knowing whether that child will get that role or not? What about driving to a casting call? What about doing hair? What about doing makeup? What about...
Are you saying that what the parents in Santee have suffered, what the parents in Littleton have suffered, it's the same thing as what you suffer when your kid doesn't get a part in a TV commercial?
I really think the brutality is the same, yes, because it is...
There are parents who lost their children. There are parents...
Yes, there is the death of the child, but what about the death of the child's self-esteem? What about the death of a child's acting career? What do you say?
I don't see how it's the same thing. Hold on, I'm going to give our phone number out, okay?
But what do you say to that?
I don't think it's the same thing to say that a child, on the one hand, in one family is dead, and a child, on the other hand, in another family, has lost an opportunity to be in a TV commercial. I don't.
And you don't think the brutality is similar? The murder of oneself is similar?
No! One's dead and the other had a disappointment.
Well, you know something, Phil, until you're a parent, you won't understand it.
Maybe. 1-800... Tell them I'm a parent, I won't understand it. I don't...
Phil, what I'm saying...
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray is talking with us about her son, Jason J. Delmonico. Is that his stage name?
That is his stage name, yes.
Because it's just... Can't we call him Jason Gray or...
No. Jason J. Delmonico is a professional name. It is registered with the Screen Actors Guild. And that is the name that the public knows him by. And I don't think it would be fair if we used another name.
All right. Well, your son wrote a play about Columbine that his high school was going to show until this Santee shooting happened. And now they've canceled it. And you characterized the Who's the teacher that canceled it?
Her name is... Hold on for a minute, because I'd be very happy to give it to you.
And I don't like you characterizing her in the B word.
Hold on. Laura Toiler. T-O-I-L-E-R. Laura, this bitch is...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want that language, okay?
Well, you deal with a scarred child after losing an audition. It is every bit as bad as grieving the loss of a child. What is one of the things... We have some people who live down the street from us. Their son was killed in one of these bus accidents. And there was another couple that lived next door to us when we were still living out in Santa Monica. They lost their daughter to one of these hit-and-runs. Okay, and I said to her, you know something? It is cruel. Our son missed out on the casting call for Harry Potter.
And are you telling these parents who have lost children that it's...
Oh, Phil, spare me your phony indignation, because...
It's not phony indignation. I'm trying to get to the bottom of your mind where you think that your son didn't get Harry Potter is the same as a parent losing a child, okay?
It is the death of self, Phil, the death of self. And let me recommend a book. There are two books, all right?
I need to read a book to understand...
You need to read a book about the death of self. There is one by Alan Watts called Grist for the Mill, another marvelous book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. These deal with the death of self. And I really am surprised that you don't understand...
Look, I don't have time for a lot of highfalutin philosophizing, if you don't mind me being colloquial here.
Uncle Remus, huh?
And Uncle Remus.
With the philosophizing on the front porch. I'm talking about my son, Jason J. Delmonico, who worked his little rear end off on this play. Now the bitch, Laura Toiler...
You use that word one more time, Margaret, I'll hang up on you.
I'm sorry?
If you use the B word one more time, I hang up on you.
So now I'm being censored.
Being censored from using that word, which is highly offensive and inappropriate.
The witch with a B, Laura Toiler. Oh, is that all right?
It is very juvenile for you.
The witch with a B, Laura Toiler, canceled out Jason J. Delmonico because of the Santee thing. I wish some of these parents would be a little less selfish about their child dying and a little bit more magnanimous when it comes to Jason J. Delmonico and the possibility that he could be up for Lost in Space, too. But no.
Hold on for a minute. These stage brothers. What? What do you want to say? Because Mike's waving his arms.
People don't realize the pain that a family goes through when an artist is not allowed to express himself. That's my point.
You cannot compare it to the pain a family suffers when a child dies. It's unbelievable. Here is Victor on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
There's no way you can actually correlate the death of a child to that of a lost opportunity in a play or a casting call or whatever the case is.
He wrote the play himself, though, and he's casting this himself.
Okay, well, he's not dead. He still has the ability to write another play to have another opportunity. When a child dies or a person dies, that life is ended. There's no more opportunity.
Do you feel it's fair of the school to cancel this play that he wrote about Columbine simply because of this Santee shooting? That was in San Diego. We're in Los Angeles. And
the whole country is feeling this thing. It's not just San Diego. The whole.
No, I'm asking the caller, not you,
Mr. Well, whether it's fair or not is not. It's maybe it's not fair, but you're trying to compare them canceling your son's play just because he wrote it and he's going to star it and all of this to the death of a child or in this case, the death of many children.
Well,
that
true.
Is absolutely absurd.
But Victor, do you know what it is? It's not just a child. It's Jason J. Delmonico. He's missed out on an important part. It's like experiencing a death. It's the death of innocence. It's the death of an opportunity because it's the death of an opportunity for Jason J. Delmonico.
Okay, well, you know what? Jason J. Delmonico is going to have many more opportunities in his life. He is 13 years old. I can understand if that person at the school maybe shot him and killed him, where then it would be an opportunity, where then it would be a tragic incident.
Have you seen my son?
I'm sorry, I don't feel as though it's tragic that your son does not have an opportunity to have his play. I mean, that, you cannot compare the two.
Death to that
of losing an opportunity of a play.
Look, at Santee is near the border. The kids killed were probably... They could have been illegal immigrants.
Oh, man, you better watch it. You had better...
That is absurd. You have no compassion.
Watch what you are saying.
I'm just saying Jason J. Delmonico didn't get to have his play up.
Well, he didn't, but watch what you're saying, okay? Victor, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Get her under control. I hear one more crack like that, and that B word. She's nuts! Jason J. Delmonico wrote a play. You know, just between you and me, is she on hold? Just between you and me, I've met her kid. If this kid could put an A up against a ball bounced, if he can do that, I'm shocked and stunned. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. It's a Phil Hendry Show. You know, some of the things that you're telling me, though, are so completely outrageous. Margaret Gray is with us, and we're talking about the tragedy in Santee and how the tragedy in Santee canceled a play that her son had written called School's Out, the Columbine Story. This was going to be a high school play, and this was going to be something that he had written, that he had...
He was going to star in it, Phil. He was going to direct it. He had cast it. And the idea that the selfishness, these parents in Santee, I think, are understandably bereaved. Jason J. Delmonico didn't get the part in Malcolm in the Middle. And I remember I cried. Oh, my God, you know, the memory is rushing back to me right now.
You cried what?
I cried for 2 days. And what the parents in Santee are going through right now, I'm saying I remember that. Same feeling when Jason J. Delmonico did not get a Harry Potter or Malcolm in the Middle. And
their kids died. You know, this is the thing that
I understand that their children died. But what about my sacrifice? Do you know that Jason and I shower together in the morning?
He's 13. You're showering with a 13-year-old boy.
Yes, to save time while he's getting ready for his auditions. And you can't walk into a casting director's office with a boy that is absolutely filthy. So, yes, we do shower together. Yes, it is strange. But it is something that we have to do. And it is a sacrifice that we make.
You're showering with your 13-year-old son so that...
So that we can be ready. We go over, we run his lines in the shower.
Can't you guys... Oh, man. I don't think it's right that you shower with a 13-year-old boy.
Then try being the mother of a great young child actor.
You're showering with him. You cried for 3 days because he didn't get Malcolm in the Middle.
I have given up my privacy to make sure that he's completely clean and polished and ready.
1-800-449-8686. Becky on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
I am just continually amazed and appalled by this mother. At first, I called immediately when I heard that you weren't a parent, so you couldn't possibly know what it feels like.
No, he couldn't.
To be disappointed when your child doesn't get something. Well, I am a mother, and I know what it feels like, and I never want to know what it feels like to lose one of my children.
Then don't go into
show business. Are a sick woman.
Oh.
If you shower with your son,
your son needs to make it to the audition.
That is disgusting. Not to mention, you cried for two days? Why didn't he cry for 2 days? You're too wrapped up in your son's life, and you need to get a life of your own.
I guess you're jealous because your children have never been up for the Harry Potter films.
Well, come on, don't go there. And my children didn't lose the part either, or they're not going to make some World Chest in Space number 2, which the first one was horrible, and the second one probably will be too.
If I were a producer,
director, or anybody in that industry and were listening to you on the phone, I would make sure that Jason J. Dell, whoever the hell he is, would never be cast in anything for fear of having to deal with you.
You know something? Are you done? Because your cruelty, you must be a very unhappy woman.
No, she's made some very good points.
You're cruel.
What you are saying about these people who have lost children is outrageous. And it disgusts me, and that's why I have called.
It disgusts you?
Have you
ever lived through a child not
have
getting...
Have you ever lost a
one
child?
One of the top Campbell Soup...
Have you ever
agencies.
Lost a child?
He lost the part in the Campbell
Have you
Soup.
Lost a child?
Yes,
have you
in
put a
speaking,
child
yes,
in the
have.
Ground?
If Jason J. Delmonico does not get the part in Harry Potter, in a way, I've lost
I gotta
a part
tell
of
you, just the more you say
Jason
his name, the more I'm going to remember it, because I'm never going to go see anything he's in.
Do you hear what you're doing? Do you hear what you're doing to this? Well, here's a woman who doesn't...
She's a woman who obviously has a great deal of bitterness, because Jason J. Delmonico...
I don't even know your kid.
You know something? I care.
You
know something? I'm really resentful. What are you inferring just because I shower with my son?
He's 13.
I think he's sick. I don't shower with my daughter.
Jason, my son. He has sometimes seen naked women at casting calls. It helps him get used to the female anatomy by showering with me.
When does a 13-year-old actor see naked women at a casting call?
We have been on some.
Well, you haven't been in any
they
union
must
shoot.
Been porn movies.
No, it's not a union shoot. You're not. Is he in the union?
Of course he is.
What nude women is a 13-year-old boy seeing at a casting call?
Oh, get a load of you. Are you Mr. Hollywood all of a sudden?
I'm a member of the union. I happen to know that there's certain rules and regulations, and you can't send a 13-year-old kid...
We're wasting time. What happened to Jason J. Delmonico when Frankie Muniz got Malcolm in the Middle shouldn't happen to any child. And the brutality that was visited upon me
after showering nude with him. Not your son, on you. Do you see the deal here? If you've given up your life, it's because you've chosen to pursue your dream for your child.
We shower together.
Not his dream, your dream. That's why it's so devastating. You didn't get to become an actress, so you're going to make sure your son is.
You got all the answers,
don't you? You need to figure out whose life this poor boy's trying to lead.
You got all the answers, don't you?
No, I don't have all the answers. I just know that you sound like a mentally disturbed woman.
How dare you? How dare you? I love my boy so much that I strip and get into a shower with him so he doesn't have to wait.
That is sick, and it's a bad excuse. That is a bad excuse, and don't you dare use that against another mother. I love my kids so much, I will let them go. I will let them fly free.
Oh, so in other words, you'd miss an audition by not stripping and getting into the shower with your son
because of your modesty.
You
are darn right.
Oh, my God.
You are so right.
And
I
what if he misses
an audition
out?
For my child. I want my children to learn dignity and respect for others and themselves. I don't want them to learn that everything revolves around them and only them. And I don't want them to think that if they miss an opportunity, there's not another.
So in other words, if your child missed out on a part in Party of Five because you wouldn't nude up with him, you'd feel good about that, wouldn't you?
You got it.
God.
And I would teach nude my up. Child that their self-worth is worth more than
Once
being
the boy
nude
got over
for
the
a stupid TV
erections.
Show.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449, I don't want to hear anything about erections. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
of French kissing, deep tongue kissing. And it was...
You did this in the shower?
We're running lines. He has to know, A, how to get into character, B...
So now you're tongue kissing your son nude in the shower.
What a filthy mind you have.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to think here, okay?
We're doing it to save time. I am really sick and tired of listening to people say that there's something wrong with my parenting because I happen to shower with my 13-year-old son and because we practice tongue kissing. The reason why we practice tongue kissing is it's something he'll need to know as an actor.
Can you do that when you're not in the shower?
And he's got an audition in an hour. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm saying. We're talking to Margaret Gray on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret is a writer, her nationally syndicated column, and she's talking about how her son, Jason J. Delmonico, had a play canceled by the school. It was called Schools Out, the Columbine Story, because of what happened in Santee, California, the school shooting there. The boy is devastated, Margaret's devastated, and she feels that the boy's play ought to be able to be presented. Because the people in Santee, because she knows the brutality of what the people in Santee are suffering. I mean, you're saying that knowing that your boy didn't get a part in the forthcoming Lost in Space 2 is the same as a kid being shot to death in a school.
Exactly.
Boy! You're nuts. Diane on The Phil Hendry Show.
And I'm also getting tired of being called nuts.
Yes, Diane, go ahead.
Did you hear what I said, Phil?
I heard you.
Everyone can hear you.
I'll get you. Are we drinking our dinner tonight?
You know what, lady? I have news for you, okay?
We're drinking our dinner tonight?
Just shut up, Margaret, and let the lady talk.
We're not drinking our dinner tonight. Thank you very much. You should be drinking your dinner, okay, to calm down a little bit, because... I have children of my own, and there is no way you can compare having auditions and losing parts.
Jason J.
Delmonico
is up for the next Malcolm in the Middle. And
we already heard about the Malcolm in the Middle thing that he missed out on, okay?
You know what? Nobody cares.
They're bringing back Party of Five.
We heard about Party of Five.
Did you hear about the re-release of Tin Drum?
What's he going to play in Tin Drum?
The Midget.
The Midget.
How many names are you going to drop? Okay? How many names are you going to drop? Because nobody cares, okay?
I happen to be the mother of a very...
The thing is that, you know, I went to school with plenty of these children, okay? I grew up with plenty of these children. I went to a school for the performing arts.
What happened?
I've seen mothers like you, okay? I've seen girls get anorexic because... Their mothers were afraid they were going to be too fat to fit in a dress to do a part.
Of course they would be.
You know what?
You're just making me
very upset.
No, Diane, listen to me. You're a mother. You see your daughter. You want her to be in a new... Let's say that John Hughes is casting a new Uncle Buck.
I don't even know who John Hughes is,
Did you?
Okay?
Oh, you didn't see Home Alone? Oh, sure. You didn't see Home Alone. Yeah, right. Everybody saw Home Alone. Everyone.
Fine, we see Home Alone, but we don't know who John Hughes is.
I'm just so upset that Jason won't get to present his skit in chapel because of those parents in Santee who are worried about their children. It was a bit...
His skit in chapel. In other words, School's Out, the Columbine Story, he was going to show in church.
Yes. What's wrong with that? You see, what you and Diane don't get is, in the world of Hollywood, you have to be in character.
You're crazy. There is more to performing arts than just the world of Hollywood. Okay?
Well, I don't know what else there is unless you're talking about dinner theater in Providence, Rhode Island, which I would rather put a loaded shotgun underneath my chin.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, man.
That's me. Read it and weep.
Yeah, okay. Diane, thank you for your call. Here is Jan. Jan's in San Diego on The Phil Hendry Show. Jan, go ahead.
Well, I'm not in San Diego now,
right.
But I live in San Diego.
Yes.
And I need to clear something up.
Do you know any of the parents in Santee?
I know that there are no illegal aliens. One was a teacher. One was a security guard who was studying law enforcement at the university. And there are no illegal aliens.
Well, can you tell me, do you think they'd mind if we did the Columbine thing?
I hope you're... I hope your Columbine thing rots in a trash heap, lady. And I'll tell you something else. Your son should be taken away from your home. The police should be called immediately. Social services should come and take your son away. And goodbye.
Take my son away for what reason? You don't. She doesn't have a reason.
Well, the reason is because you're showering with him, practicing French kissing while you're in the shower, and...
I've already explained it. And if you're too much of an amateur, Phil, to understand, I don't know what to do. I'm going to simply say this, and I say this with the greatest of fondness and greatest of love to all parents everywhere. I am so sorry that many of you have lost children. I am so sorry that many of you have lost children to violent acts. But let's move on now. Jason J. Delmonico. They're revitalizing Full House with three sons this time. And my boy, Jason J. Delmonico, could have one of the roles. If he'd been seen by the casting people, if his play were allowed to proceed this weekend, he might be a part of the new Full House project. But no. No, the selfish B-I-T-C-H... Joyce Toiler at the...
Okay, I've got enough of this woman's name.
Phil, you won't let me even say...
I've heard enough of this woman who...
Jason would rather be chased around the cafeteria by Jason Klebold than do dinner theater in Rhode Island. Thank you.
Well, you know something? Oh, there she goes. There she goes. And did you hear that last comment? He'd rather be chased around a cafeteria by Klebold than have to do dinner theater in Rhode Island. That's what I call a cold shot. Maybe it's true. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. This is the very terrible music of Eric Clapton. Yes, Eric Clapton, who's almost 60, and sounds every bit of it. How did he get so tired? What happened? Some say it was love. Some say he's just bored. What happened to Eric Clapton, the Eric Clapton that we knew? What happened to the firebrand guitarist holding forth at the Fillmore West? His music now is so horrible, some people mistake it for Rod Stewart's. What happened to the Eric Clapton of Derek and the Dominoes, Cream, and the Blues Breakers? What happened? All those lousy Miller beer commercials he started doing. But of course, singing songs about his father's eyes. What is that? Does anybody... What the hell is that? Yes, Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton Blows, available now on Columbia Records. The new album by Eric Clapton, Eric Clapton Blows, available now at Tower Records. Anyway, I don't know. I was listening to the Kenny G material, which, of course, was also some stellar stuff, and I came across the Eric Clapton thing, and I said, why has it happened to him? We don't know. See, there was a time when this was Eric Clapton. But now I got...
Jim, what do we play?
So, I got it, Eric. Let's just complete the effect. How about a golf membership out in the desert, huh?
That's when I need that.
Let's just round it right out, and we can have Eric Clapton for Geritol.
Right, I'm Eric Clapton, and I'm a... now I sound German, don't I? I sort of sound like Cary Grant. I don't know who the hell I am.
Those days are long gone, baby. Forget about that. Because he didn't want to hang with all that blue... You know, here's the whole trip with this guy. See, I'm such a music fan, I know all the stuff that you guys don't know, which is, for instance, like Eric Clapton used to be an acoustic, what they called a classic blues artist, an acoustic blues artist. He was a blues guy, and now he's doing... Now chicks dig him. That's what's happened. Now women love this guy's music. Women don't like the blues. Except for Melissa. You know what I did like about that guy in the 80s when he did that Forever Man? I thought that was cool, and she's way... I don't know. There's some stuff. But I really have marveled down through the years what's happened to this guy with My Father's Eyes and Wonderful Tonight. How did you go from... How'd you go from cranking crossroads? How'd you go from, you know, just major feedback sessions late into the night to... it's late in the evening... And she is getting ready for bed. And the guy is our new Perry Como. I just figured it. How can you get more mellow than Como? You got Eric. Como. Sounds a lot like Como for Boy, don't it? And they're both just about as bland. How could I lose him? Perry Como for Boy, and it's impossible to do a good radio show. It's impossible. Do original radio, it's just impossible. It's impossible to have an original thought, oh, just impossible. Okay, Melissa wants to meet me in a parking lot after the show. She wants to kick my rear end around a block for drill, and you're just the woman to do it, kid. Look, I don't mean anything cruel. I don't mean to be untoward. It's just that some of us remember a guy that had a little bit of spunk, had a little bit of something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it wasn't he a meth freak back then? That's what you're missing, Eric, your old drug habit. Isn't he like on methadrine or some, who knows? He was snorting, he wasn't snorting coke. He was snorting rocket fuel. He was going out to Irwindale, man, and siphoning the tanks. So anyway, that was just a kind of a wild thing, but it's interesting how bands change, isn't it? And I guess that's what the, Spinal Tap satirizes, the whole changing, the whole sort of, Pink Floyd's a classic example of that. My two young friends here, Mr. Taylor and Mr. Schaefer, huge Pink Floyd fans. They don't even remember Pink Floyd when Roger Waters was in the band. You guys remember them, you guys remember it as a recording entity, but you never saw them. With Roger Waters, okay? That's like you guys go see Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. You think you're seeing Led Zeppelin. And now Pink Floyd's out there making records, and you guys are totally in love with them, and they've never sounded worse. You agree with me, huh? They haven't. They've never sounded... Pink Floyd's never... But you know what? It's good that you honor all of the old creeps. Like Grandpa here. What have I done? Yes, Eric Clapton. How will I know him? Your girlfriend likes him now. Hey, somebody got a hold of him and said, look, we got to do something. Why is she joking about him? Like, well, first of all, clean up, will you?
What?
Clean up. Clean up. Put the needle down and clean up. What are you doing, a Keith Richards bit now? Get cleaned up. Number two, you're doing wonderful tonight. And another thing you're going to do is lay down Sally. Ain't that something? Plus, take J.J. Cale's great song, Cocaine, and really screw it up. Anyway, I don't want to be putting down Eric anymore. I feel I'm in foreign territory here. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800. By the way, did you hear about the 1-800-449-8686? You hear about the FBI probing a plot to kidnap movie star Russell Crowe? Now, if Margaret were still with us, she'd probably say something along the lines of, she just wants to wait until Jason J. Delmonico develops to the point where someone wants to kidnap him. That's when she's really going to be happy with the development of his career. That's when you really know you're a star, man. Someone wants to kidnap you. FBI said on Tuesday it's investigating a plot to kidnap film actor Russell Crowe, the New Zealand-born Oscar-nominated star of Gladiator. No details of the plot were given, but an FBI spokeswoman in L.A. said the agency had interviewed a few people about the situation. FBI normally declines to comment on pending investigations, but decided to make an exception in this case because of media reports surfacing in recent days. In light of that, we have confirmed that we have an investigation into a plot to kidnap him, the spokesman Laura Bosley said. She said the probe was continuing. Crowe's publicist Robin Baum said, we're aware of the plot and the FBI has been helpful in guiding us and we have taken the necessary security precautions. Syndicated TV show Entertainment Tonight has reported that Crowe, 36, was informed of the plot more than a month ago and attended the January 21st Golden Globe Awards, flanked by federal agents dressed or whatever in tuxedos. I don't know what, I can't read this. It didn't print off, so I don't know whether he had security guards or what. Bosley declined to say whether Crow had received FBI protection. He said he has his own security, and we understand that that's been increased. Get a load of that. This guy's big, isn't he? Russell Crowe. And he's got that. Now, Proof of Life nobody saw. Am I right? Is that movie stiffing? Is it doing okay? Gladiator, the biggest thing going. If that doesn't win the best award for picture, there's something wrong in the world. Not that I think it should, but we all know how this works now, don't we? We can all pretty much, except for that Shakespeare in Love. We can get that thing. But what sort of freak wants to kidnap Russell Crowe? He's got freaking Crocodile Dundee as his security. He's got a bunch of Aussies with those big-ass knives. He's got that nutball, that Paul Hogan. Not only are you going to be kept away from Russell Crowe, you're going to be gutted and skinned and used to build a canoe. Stretch your skin over a canoe frame. Those Australians are something else, aren't they? I mean, at least the image of those guys is that they're very tough, and I don't know. They've got a big-ass country there, and they all talk like they live, you know, that they're out peeing in my image of Australians is they pee out in the woods all the time, that they never really use they never really use a toilet. That's all right, mate. You just go out here in the woods. That's my image of an Australian. There's a city, and there's people that live in the city, and the rest of the country's just peeing under a tree someplace. And I marvel when I look at like Australian rules football, because who doesn't like Australian rules football? The guys are wearing hot pants. I mean, it is sex on wheels. I mean, who doesn't dig Australia? I watch that, and I'm saying, there it is. This is a sport in a country founded. It was a former penal colony. That's what Australia was. It was the place where England sent its prisoners. And they made a country out of it, which goes to show you, left to their own devices, given proper rehabilitation, a guy who's like a serial murderer or some dude who's, I don't know, setting off bombs some places or burning down warehouses, he can form a pretty good-looking country, at least a nice sport like Australian rules football and a damn good beer. And then the other thing I used to think of when I was a kid is Australians didn't drive in cars. They just hopped around in the pouches of kangaroos. You know, remember that? I'll just get into my kangaroo here and hop around. I mean, what do we know about this country anyway? It's down there, and it's just, everything's bass-ackwards, man. They got a thing that lays eggs and don't look like a bird, and they got, the sky's different down there. The toilet flushes the wrong way. They don't dig black folks down there, do they? Australians, do they have black people? I mean, other than the Aborigines, and they treat them the way we treat Indians, which is, I guess we think we treat them good, but in reality it sucks, right? That's probably the way the Australians think they treat the Aborigines, real good. Like they're really giving them a great time, but it probably blows. And then what's that city with the weird-ass architecture? What's that damn thing I keep seeing? Visit Australia, and you see that clamshell thing. Oh, the opera. Oh, look at you. You know all about the opera house. How do you know? You never even heard opera. That's the opera house? In where? Sydney? Well, why isn't it world famous? The opera, I hear about the San Francisco Opera, the Vienna Opera. I don't hear about no Sydney Opera. Or maybe I'm wrong. Did you ever see Muriel's Wedding? Very funny, about this fat girl that moves from Porpoise Spit, the small town, into the big city, and all she listens to is ABBA music. And, oh, it was weird. I say it was a great movie. I'm being kind. Phil Henry Show.